B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Noontime on a Friday, 617-779-0985. Why don't we jump back to your calls at this moment, as I know you've been waiting patiently, including Leo, who's in Grafton today. What's up, Leo?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Leo.
So when you guys were talking about the going to the stadiums, I think I actually got to agree with Zolak on this one. Like, let's say you go to these stadiums and you guys are all cheering and yelling as loud as you can. What's the difference between that and just coughing? Like, what, you can only put so many seats between those people, but I don't think that's possible. I think you're going to be yelling and just spreading it, unfortunately.
Right, so
all or nothing thing, man.
Would you
really
go?
Do.
Leo, would you go if you had the option?
I don't think so. I think there's a bunch of people who are asymptomatic, and I think if me risking getting it, and then let's say that I can visit other people, I'd be afraid to spread it just because you don't know if people are immunocompromised and everything like that. Just got to play it safe.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be with you. I'd be in the same frame of mind. Two seats, I guess, wouldn't be it. Wouldn't be enough. I wonder if there is a number. You know, how many people could you put in a section that people would say, yeah, you know what, that's pretty good. We're all spread out. We can make that work.
Yeah.
And it would be a limited number of people if you did it
I know,
right.
That's just, it's so hard when you have a stadium banged out, too, with season ticket holders.
What if you're, this is all under the assumption there's no vaccine yet, but what if you could get a test that says, yep, you've apparently already had it and you've got the antibodies and we don't think you'll be able to get it again. Does that change your mind?
If it were for me, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you'd go?
If you had already had it and you developed antibodies?
Yeah. Yes. you don't, like none of us, none of the three of us know if we've had it, but if that test becomes readily available,
right.
You can go get tested and find out. And it's like, oh, looks like you've been exposed to it at some point.
But you're also,
yeah.
Like, Lee
yeah,
Quincy can go to the game. Marcus Smart can go to that game.
Yeah. I mean, Hardy, if someone goes and gets tested, and this is going to happen for some people. They're going to go, they're going to have that antibodies test, and they're going to find out they had it and didn't know it. What a gift. What?
Right.
You've hit the lottery. You had it and you didn't even develop any symptoms. You were in that portion of the population that got it, contracted it, beat it, never got sick. That's awesome. Like, that's good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be one of those people, Hardy. That would be amazing to find out that that was the case. Yeah, hey, guess what? You're not going to get it again. You've already had it. What do you mean I had it? Oh, you had it and you beat it. You didn't even get sick. So that would be incredible. And those people, I think, are going to be ready to go, man. They'll be ready to go out. So if I were in that situation, yes, I'd be feeling great about life. Yes, going everywhere.
I guess I would just want to find out everything I could about, okay, I've already had it. I can't get it again, but can I carry it? And I don't just mean on my person. Like, could I still be somehow a carrier of it? And if I go and say, woohoo, I've already had it, I want to go to the game, can I then safely come home if I was around somebody who was a carrier? You know, are you able to carry it even if you've already had it? You know, this may be a stupid question. It may be an easy one for an expert to answer, but I don't know the answer.
No, I don't. I think it's a good question to be asking, right? Not so much that when you say on your person, do you mean like you carrying it as a human or you carrying it on your clothes?
Both.
Because I think the part about, hey, I just went to a game and people are yelling and screaming and breathing all over me and it's all over my clothes. Should I still strip down in the driveway and head straight to the shower?
Right, right. Because it happens to you, it happens to me. We show up at a game, people are hugging us. Broads are all over me. Hardy, I love you so much. And they're hugging, they're kissing me. And it's like, okay, I can't get infected, but, How, do I go home to my kids? Is it safe?
Right. Let's go to Steve, who's in Tewksbury today. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Happy Good Friday. I don't know what's good about it, but hope everybody's feeling okay. Hey, listen, I work at the Garden, and, you know, trying to keep people two or three seats away in the arena, that might be okay. But how about in the luxury suite when you have, like, 12 to 18 to 22 people up there, or even in the sports deck? I mean, how is that going to work out?
It's not.
I just don't see it.
It's really not.
It wouldn't, Steve. You're right. It wouldn't.
You know, and it's the fans behind you. Again, like if you're screaming, you're yelling, that's you're casting that out of your mouth down, and it's going straight down. Like you said, Artie, it's got gravity. It goes down.
I'd love to socially distance from some of the sales guys in our box, though. I'd love that. Hey, 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 Musk, stay 6 feet away, bro.
Hey, Dan Halpert can't high five anymore.
Put that
Dan
high five
Halpert
away,
Halpert. Do the high five. Put that right back in your pocket, pal.
No, I will not be taking all five of those. Thank you very much.
When Calnan's itching the side of his face, you know, they talk about the shedding period. Is that part shedding?
That's a different kind of that's a different kind of shedding.
Matt in the car on the NHL and the possibility of starting back up. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy belated, by the way, Beetle.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hey, listen, you know, all this, like, moving people two, three seats over, you know, a couple rows apart, this, that. One big thing I think everybody's missing, the insurance companies. Like, who's going to indemnify all this?
That's a good point. You work in, you work in insurance, Matt?
No, I don't. But, I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, any, you know, things have been putting the kibosh on. It's like, yeah, the insurance rate is too expensive. Like,
that's
they're not going to cover it. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Easter, guys, and
okay.
Take care and be safe. Bye.
I hope the Easter party comes to your house.
I wonder if that applies to bringing back. That's why I asked Michael McCann yesterday. I said, are the players going to be able to turn around and tell the league, like, you came back too soon and we all got sick and that's on you? And he said that it'll probably be negotiated and bargained that the players cannot hold the league responsible for anyone coming down and contracting the virus during the course of play. Because I do think that would be a factor. If, let's say, the NBA comes back, they have a bunch of guys who come down with it and get seriously ill, and then they say, hey, my working conditions led to this. It's my employer's fault. And he said they're going to have to come up with something that protects the leagues.
And it's probably not what Goodell did, where he told his GMs who were complaining and bitching to shut the hell up or else you're going to get fined or we're going to dock you something. So zip it. Zip it, Zippy. We're doing a draft. We're going to do these workouts. Free agency will go on. And Goodell took a stand on that, and he's doing that for the owners. He works for those guys.
Joe's in Peabody on Joe Tooney. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's
good.
Up?
Good.
Not much. Obviously, with the draft coming up, it's going to be different. And without a second-round pick, I kind of wanted to just throw this at you guys' attention. Joe Tooney's going to be set to make about $15, $16 million this year. Do you think it's possible that Bill and Co. try and trade him to get back into the second round? Obviously, the Mohamed's the new trade. You know, is it going to work out? Nobody knows. But kind of just wanted to pick you guys' brains on that and see where we're at. Thanks for taking my call.
I would say he's more likely to be here and be signed to a long-term deal. That's what I believe.
I think based on the health of David Andrews, now he's back, he's cleared, but you never know what could pop back up there. Shaq Mason's been banged up. You know, Cannon's been at it for a while, and uncertainty at left with Isaiah. Like, Joe Tooney's the one anchor that you have and say, I don't want to deal with that guy. I want him to be here for a long time. They could work on extension. They could get that cap number down and you know, reward him. And I think he's a guy of simple means, and you know, he's never misses games. He's a tough kid. You know, he's like a Mankins. So, you don't let
and I think he's going to get paid a boatload because he has tremendous leverage. This is a case where I look at it and say the franchise tag on Joe Tooney
helps him.
That helps him.
Sure does.
He now has a bunch of guaranteed cash. And have we heard if he signed the tender? Oh, yes, he did. It looks like he did. March 20th, he signed it. Yeah.
Of course he did. Good guy.
They did. I just looked this up as he was talking. They gave him the tag on the 16th, which we knew right at the start of free agency. He signed it 4 days later. Get me that paperwork. I need to sign that tender.
Which he most bacon.
Which he absolutely did, because now he has all this guaranteed money for next season, which I think benefits him in a conversation about doing a longer-term deal. Or he can say, hey, thanks for giving me the franchise tag. Happy to play under it. I'll be there day one. Thank you for all the guaranteed money that you just gave me. And then I could go be a free agent again next year, right? He's in a great spot. So I think ultimately, as you just described him, Zoe, the way you describe him, he seems like the type of guy who would probably be happy getting a long-term deal done.
Yeah, I don't think that's a guy that's going to sit there and hold out till the midnight hour and you know, hold you over it. He's a guy that is going to get a good contract. I think he's going to get a fair contract. And I just think he likes being around these guys. He likes being around guys like Andrews. So, you know, let that guy go. I wouldn't trade him.
UFC 249, was that on your radar, Zoe? Were you going to watch that one?
I tell you what, I like the fact that Dana White has named this Fight Island. Was that your headline, Hardy? Fight Island?
We did play a clip of him talking about Fight Island. Yes.
What do you do when you get to the island? You come out on the dock and you just start beating the hell out of each other, and that's how you get on the island. That's your ticket.
Well, there's someone there to welcome you, telling you about the 6 a.m. meditation. They tell you about the meal plan. Yeah. They tell you about the meal plan, and they tell you what's expected of you.
Yes.
Yes, encouragement. Yes.
Get in there.
UFC and Dana White have canceled their latest event. Fight Island is apparently still on. I'll tell you about both of those next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Today we got a call from the highest level you can go at Disney and the highest level of ESPN. And the powers that be there asked me to stand down and not do this event next Saturday. All of my fighters that are under contract with me, I want them to feel safe. Take time with your families and enjoy this time. Don't worry about the financial part of this. You're going to get the fights on your contract, and I'm going to make things, you know, right with the people who are willing to step up and fight this weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend on April 18th. And I'm going to take care of as many people as I possibly can and do whatever it takes to make these guys all feel comfortable.
That's Dana White. Dana White canceling his event. Because the people as high as you could go.
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey himself.
But Walt's dead.
As high as you could go, told him, can't do it, man. Can't have this event. And that's how high you got to be able to tell Dana White what he can and cannot do.
Isn't there, is an element of that when he speaks, isn't there?
Oh,
like,
yes. Totally.
I'm only collaborating with and talking with the top people.
The only thing that was going to shut us down were the top people, nobody below them. All right, so an adult got into the room and said, hey, idiot, shut down your sport. That's what happened there. But he's still promising.
You'll get paid.
He's still promising the Fight Island. Fight Island is still on, man.
What the hell is going on the 18th?
There's nothing going on the 18th. No. The 18th was the one in California that was going to be at a facility. That was at the reservation, right, Beetle? The reservation, and so not susceptible or I guess under the same codes and laws that the rest of the state is. But you know, Fight Island. I wonder if there's a Fight Island East and a Fight Island West, where. You know, Fight Island East is really just more of like a slap and tickle type of environment. Fight Island West is where the real work is being done. I don't know. but it's, you know, he keeps talking about the infrastructure. The infrastructure is being built.
Nice,
I mean,
does
he have to? I mean, is it literally like an abandoned island with nothing more than like a dock and maybe electricity out to it, and he's got to build everything there? Because when you're talking about, you're talking infrastructure, that sounds to me like, oh, there's not much there to begin with.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this isn't Richard Branson's place, right?
Well, I bet
wiped out with the hurricane.
He's got to get the TV equipment there. That's what he probably needs to do.
But that's not infrastructure. When you say infrastructure, I mean, you mean like pipes?
Roads.
You mean like wires?
Electricity.
Yeah, Dana White's out there installing solar panels as we speak to make sure that things are up and running. I have no idea. All I know is that 249, which is going to happen on the 18th, is canceled. That's out because I'm guessing his television partner said, we're not taking part in this. We're not sending people there. We're not doing this. We're not doing it for this, for anything right now. Everything is shut down. So, no, we're not doing it. And, again, it took the top people calling. The best. The very best. Tremendous. The very best.
As high as you can go.
As high as you can go.
There's none higher.
Today we got a call from the highest level you can go at Disney.
And when they called, Dana White saying, well, of course we're going to cancel. I've been saying that for weeks. Anyway, so Dana White is done for now, and he's still going to take on the Fight Island thing. But that's going to be pay-per-view? Is that how that works?
It's got to be, right? How's he going to make money?
So that's how he's going to be able to get it up and running without the cooperation of ESPN.
Well, WrestleMania went so well. I guess they had some issues.
People was it bad?
Well, it's tough because they didn't have a crowd, so people weren't digging
just
the camera angles.
The reviews of it were like
not good. Well, Gronkowski hosted.
Sucks.
It.
Like, it's a
think
show.
About that too.
It's a, well, they're all shows. And,
I know
and,
it's
and,
a show.
And,
it's
and,
your
and,
Super
well,
Bowl.
No. I mean, WrestleMania is more of a show than even the Super Bowl. But we're all talking about what's the entertainment value? You know, how good of a thing was it to watch? And WrestleMania
not
was
good.
Really, really lacking because there weren't any fans there. And is UFC different? Probably. I don't think you need the crowd, to really have a great boxing match or a great mixed martial arts event. You can still enjoy that. So it's not as crowd dependent as these other things. But you know, if you're talking about the infrastructure of Fight Island, by the time you get done with pouring the concrete, getting your conduits up. Hell, yeah, you might be able. We might be back to a point where, oh, actually, you can just go ahead and have it. You know where you're going to have it back on April 18th. There's no issues anymore. But yep, yeah, good infrastructure. Good job getting that done.
Infrastructure, laying the pipe. That's what they're doing out there on Fight Island. Meanwhile, speaking of ESPN. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
That's what they do on the Fight Island East.
Yeah.
That's where all the pipes being laid.
Slap and tickle. Slap and tickle East. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, he's been all over this story in the NBA about what they're doing, what they're talking about. Will they be coming back? And he's had some things in recent days that indicate the league's talking more about shutting down than they are about getting back up and running. He was on a podcast, the Hoop Collective podcast, and I'll just tell you what he said, and that is, I've swung from optimism to pessimism, and I've been scolded by both the league office and the union for being pessimistic. Scolded! Sometimes you do things that the league is like, you know what, we really appreciate that. That was great. And sometimes you ruin their day. That's just how it goes. That's what Brian Windhorst said about the NBA and what they're saying to him right now. What did you think when you heard that?
Obviously, the NBA and the NFL, I think, are the two that want to play the most because of the TV money and the contracts. Windhorst, who's he getting his stuff from?
People in
the league. We got most of the information already, right? So he's going from optimistic to pessimistic now, and now the league's pissed off about it. Like, they're going to play. I think the NBA will play at some point.
I just thought it was interesting that it was a reporter finally kind of copping to, I'm not exactly on the payroll here, but I get marching orders every once in a while. You know, they tell me a good job he's admitting to some influence there from the league level. He's not a completely independent reporter. It's like, Oh, we all know this happens with a handful of guys, with the really dialed in guys, but here's somebody talking about it openly, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I was going to say, not only is he sort of indicating that, but along the same lines, you now get to tell people when you got ripped by the league or by what? Hey, is that allowed now?
Like nobody's got calls from teams or leagues. So I mean, we get them all the time, but you don't.
So when a team gets pissed at you, you can now say when they're pissed at you? I don't think that's how it works. But I'm glad he did it. I want to start doing it. Can we start doing that? You want to see people get pissed? That'll really piss people off.
Hey, Brian.
Oh, the team was pissed about X, Y, or Z. I said this, and the team got that all pissed off. And I sort of backed off that take. That's now cool? We can tell everyone who was pissed at us when?
Now they're going to call him again. Now they're double pissed.
They're going to
be. Brian, part of us talking is you don't talk about us talking. That's kind of how this thing works.
All I can think of is I read this, and I know there's audio, but we don't have it at the moment, oh, my God, they are going to be twice as pissed as they were if they get word of you telling people they were pissed at you. What, are you nuts? They're going to be so mad at you now. They're going to say, Ryan, when I call you to tell you you're being an a-hole, I want that to be kept private. That is off the record, dude. That is not on the record.
I've heard so many different things. I don't even know. I don't know if it makes me someone who's aware or if my mind is too cluttered. I've swung from optimism to pessimism. And I've been scolded by both the league office and the union for being pessimistic. Scolded.
Unreal.
But they bit him over the knee?
Yeah, can you imagine that phone call? Hey, Brian, it's the league again. Look, ideally what we would like is to tell you what to say, but you never mention that we told you that, okay? And part of that is we tell you what we like and what we don't like, but you don't ever make mention of it, okay? All right, real good. Bye-bye.
I like how both sides are mad at him, too, the Players Association and the league. Everyone's mad at him. So you know what that tells me? He's on to something.
He's doing
his job.
Yeah.
He's got the right information. You don't get pissed unless it's negative and it's also right. That's when people get pissed. When it's a negative piece of information, but it's also accurate. Nothing pisses people off more than the real story being out there. So good for you, Brian Windhorst. Seems like you're doing your job perfectly right now, and everybody's mad at you. But keep the being mad thing probably on the DL. Those people are not going to want to talk to you anymore. Wow. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We talked about Cam Newton off the top today. Would Cam Newton be a fit for the Patriots, and would you take Cam Newton as the team's bridge quarterback? More on that coming up. Also, a boatload of fun is on the way in the 1 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Newton takes the shotgun snap, stands in, he pumps, he's pressured by Ninkovich, he slips the rush, and now he dances to his left, outruns Chandler Jones to the near side, on the move for a first down past the 40, weaving his way back to his right at the 45, and brought down from behind, eventually into Patriots territory at the 48-yard line. Finally, for the Patriots, Dante Hightower was able to catch up to Cam Newton.
That's a man right there. Good breakdown. Good breakdown.
That's a man right there. Superman, Cam Newton.
A hell of a run.
2013 against the New England Patriots. Cam Newton, would you want him as Patriots quarterback? Chris Gasper, Boston Globe, he'll be with Felger Mads coming up at 4 o'clock today. He makes the case in his Globe column today that it would be a perfect match. And I don't know that he said perfect, but what he describes is a quarterback who needs to reinvent himself and prove his value again in the NFL, matched up with a coach who needs to prove he can win after Tom Brady and has got a roster with some veteran talent on it and probably needs to bridge the gap to whatever his next quarterback is. If, especially if I think so, Jarrett Stidham's not ready. If they don't believe he's ready, then what's the plan?
See, it's amazing because you say Cam Newton right away at the beginning of all this, and right away you say no. No, because you remember Cam as he finished in Carolina and sort of how that came to an end, and it wasn't perfect, and you know he's always banged up and hurt. And then you start talking about it and talking your way through it. Do you want Stidham to sit another year if he's not ready? Would you rather have Cam Newton or would you rather have Jameis Winston? Would you rather have Cam Newton? Would you rather have Andy Dalton? And it's always Cam Newton over those guys. So there's not much to pick from a veteran standpoint. Plus, he's out there on the market. You don't give up anything to get him. You'd have to give up something to get Dalton. I don't want Jameis Winston. I think you could my biggest point is you could talk your way into saying, yeah, I could see Cam potentially being a fit here.
Yeah, like you are right now.
Yeah. But he's the biggest guy I've ever seen play the position. He and Roethlisberger, they're huge. You know, talking 270, 275. But this guy's all muscle. Like, there's no fat on him. And he's played at a high level. And again, I go to, I don't say the ego part of it, but the confidence part of it. There's got to be something in Cam that gives him confidence, right? You played in the league a long time. You took your team to a Super Bowl. Yeah, you had that play in the Super Bowl. One play doesn't define a player. It does for a lot of fans, though. That hurt him, no doubt about it. But I think you have to remember the good in Cam and what he brought and how dynamic he was and how unstoppable he was. I remember going back to, and we played it, what, in a show a couple weeks ago, the Belichick pressers. You know, that week of Carolina, and I remember just sitting there talking to him, doing a radio interview, and like, oh, tough to tackle. Sure, he's got everything. Make all the throws, make all the runs. You know, just a physical force. But, you know, he could come here and be the best option that has the mentality to replace the guy that left. And that might just be temporary. That might be 2 years, 1 year.
Could be a year.
But I don't want to watch Andy Dalton do it. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Hardy.
No, I mean, no. The closer we get to a Jared Stidham as your starting quarterback in New England season for the New England Patriots, the more willing I am to entertain any and all options. And I'm not saying I hate the idea of Stidham, but I don't know. And I've got a healthy fear of the unknown, like a lot of people. Cam Newton, I have no idea what he would be like either, but at least I would be compelled to watch. And I think it could be fantastic. And you asked me 2 months ago, what do you think about Cam Newton coming in, getting ready? No, I don't want Cam Newton here. Resign Brady. Get that done. What are you talking about? Well, Brady's gone, and really nothing else developing on the quarterback front. And unless you want to count, you know, another backup coming in and Cody Kessler being released. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about Cam Newton. That could be interesting. I mean, the closer we get to September, the more willing I am to think that's not such a bad idea after all.
Yeah, it's a boom or bust thing. I mean, it could blow up in your face and be terrible. But the ceiling on a guy like Cam Newton is much better than Andy Dalton. So if in a vacuum you say, okay, the team has decided they don't think Stidham's ready yet. They don't love the idea of Hoyer being the starting quarterback. They're going to go for a veteran who's been an accomplished starter at some point in their career, or a veteran who's been a starter for a long period of time, because I wouldn't call Andy Dalton accomplished. So if you put those two up against each other, Dalton or Cam Newton, I would obviously take Cam Newton.
But I think because you could also argue that Dalton's had better people around him. Fultz had better receivers, backs his whole career.
Yeah. Well, tight ends. I mean, Newton had Steve Smith had a good for a portion of his career.
Yeah.
Right?
But if I, but
sure.
if I,
didn't he?
If I,
a few years?
Yeah, well, yeah. He had a good tight end, too.
If I'm being honest and consistent, I find myself more willing to consider guys like Andy Dalton, too. Like, Don't do this to me.
Like, if we get football back, and I got to have
Stidham or Dalton?
Stidham.
Oh, Stidham. Stidham, 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 Stidham.
Okay. Good, good question. Good job, Hardy. Stidham.
Good answer, Peter.
Are you sure you don't want to take a little more time to think about it?
Nope. Stidham.
I'll think about the Cam. You talk there's me no into future, thinking
like,
about the Cam.
There's no future for Dalton here, and there's no upside to Dalton in the short term.
Is there a Whereas future Cam, for, is there a real future for Cam Newton here?
No, there's not. There's not. And this is what I was about to say. There's not a future for Cam Newton, but there's the upside of, hey, he might be really good for a year. You might have a much better season and more enjoyable year because he was here and had a good year and had this comeback year. Whereas with Dalton, he hits his ceiling. He still stinks. Like, you're still left wanting more. Whereas with you know, Dalton versus Stidham, play Stidham and get him the experience. What are we doing here? Wasting our time with Dalton.
Hey,
you know, he's not going to bring in anything. With Newton, you're like, hey, this might turn out to be a half-decent year because you got Cam Newton in here, and it was a lot of fun to watch, and the team was pretty good because this guy just resurrected his career, and now he's going back out into free agency to cash in on it. So that's why I would go. That's why I'm considering Cam Newton, and I think the Patriots consider everything. Even if they're not serious about going after him, I bet they've talked about it internally, kicked it around even for 10 minutes. You know how they are. They're very thorough. They've probably had a conversation or two about it.
Doing her job.
I want to know what people are texting Zoe today. That's what I really want to know, Jim, Hardy. Like, as we talk about this, you get any text messages today?
No, not regarding that.
Oh, okay. Well, what did you get text messages on?
Nothing.
All right, you'll have to tell us off the air. All right. We've got plenty to get to here. By the way, Tiger King, Episode 8, coming up this weekend. Quick thought on that versus the NBA, because the NBA has something coming up this weekend as well. And also, in the 1 o'clock hour, as promised, pick threes. All kinds of pick three things for you. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tiger King Episode 8 happens this weekend. It'll be posted on Netflix on Sunday. Sunday on Netflix is when it goes up. It's a little different from what I thought it would be. I thought it would be produced in the same fashion that the documentary was.
Freak show. Yeah.
But the show is it's under a different name. It's actually going to be called The Tiger King and I is going to be the name of it. It's been described as a bonus episode. It's also been described as an after show to the series. It's actually going to be hosted by Joel McHale, who was the host of The Soup on E! He also was in the show Community on NBC. You may remember that.
Yeah, skinny kid.
Yeah, I like him. I enjoyed The Soup when he was on it. It sucks that that show went away. I think it came back recently with someone else hosting, but he is going to host it. And so he's going to be the guy in charge. And the fear, I guess, Hardy, would be that it's going to be a total goof. And I could tell you that in the promotional video that Netflix posted, that the opening scene is Joel McHale wearing a cowboy hat, no shirt, and like a tiger print scarf or a leopard print scarf, and instead of instead of Property of Joe Exotic, it says Netflix above his belt line. He put Netflix there,
yeah.
Which is funny, but I don't think that's what we're looking for.
I know. I want more of the real story. And Joel McHale's great. He's really funny. It's funny on its own. What makes it funniest when you're watching it is the people not trying to be funny.
Yeah,
that's where the humor comes from.
According to the story I'm reading right here on Screen Crush, it says, interestingly, none of the show's key subjects, Joe Exotic, Carol Baskin, or Doc Antle, are listed among the guests on the bonus episode.
Yeah.
Now, I get why Joe Exotic isn't in it. He's in jail.
Yeah.
But Baskin and Antle, Carol bleeping Baskin.
Baskins. I wanted to hate watch with her.
So what is this? Is it just low? That's all it is?
So you're going to get low. You're going to get the other guy that was shirtless that was going to kill her that ended up in Carolina because he's a former criminal, and he didn't have the guts to pull the trigger. You're going to get, what's his name, Garrettson, right? The businessman with the bolt
cut. Garrettson's not listed as one of the guys. No, John Reinke, Josh Dial, Finley, Staff, Kirkman, and Jeff and Lauren Lowe are the people in it.
I mean, I don't want to say I'm out, but
I'm kind of
you're
out.
Not out. You'll watch.
I mean, we got to watch because
I'll take a look at it, but I might be an early tap out on that thing.
I'm disappointed now. I thought it was going to be like an episode. I thought we were going to get more of Joe. I thought we were going to get more of Carol going at it.
Yeah, like no, an
it's
update.
Gonna be like,
you know,
or, it's going to be like a funny version of Deadliest Catch wrap up.
Yeah, maybe like a show getting into all the stuff that we went and Googled as soon as we got done watching the seventh and final episode. Okay, what really happened? You know, is Joe Exotic still in jail? What happened to Carol? You know, is all this stuff, you know, getting answers to some of these questions as opposed to what? Just goofing on all the stuff that we already watched without any new information? I don't know.
Sort of these tidbits were known, there were some episode 8 props that were posted, some of which don't really apply anymore. But who will be first shown in the episode? I think based on that list, you've got to think either of the characters who are in it, probably Jeff Lowe.
Yeah.
But also Joe Exotic could be. And I think that these props were done prior to it knowing that it was prior to it being known that it would be an after show.
Yeah.
And not a produced piece. So here's one that I like, though. Let's assume it's an hour after show. How many times will Baskin be said? Just the word Baskin. 7.5 times is the over-under.
Under. I'll go under. How many times? Like if you've watched this these episodes, you know who she is. They'll probably introduce her.
Well, she's not on it, so they'll be discussing her.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
Yeah, she's not on the show.
Oh, yeah, so.
I'll take the over, I guess.
But Joe's not going to be on.
I want to take
knowing,
the over.
I'll take the over.
Joe's
we'll
the one who calls her Baskins, that witch, you know?
Here's another one. Jeff Lowe, will he be arrested before January 1st, 2021? Will he be arrested this calendar year? No is actually minus 1,000. Yes is plus 550.
Ooh. I would feel like that feels like it's worth 10 bucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Where are you going to gamble that at?
and the other one that is up is, will Joe Exotic receive a presidential pardon? Do we have the audio of that exchange the other day, Jim? We didn't talk about that.
Is that Saturday?
No, it was two days ago.
Was it? Oh, I can't.
Yeah, it was during the coronavirus
briefing.
Task force briefing.
Yeah.
And I guess Joe Exotic has been talking about getting a pardon. And that's why it got brought up. The only audio I heard of it was a pretty poor quality, but
yeah.
Was...
So what happened was Don Jr. on Twitter talked about the possibility of bringing it to the attention of his father to get Joe Exotic a presidential pardon. Here are the odds, by the way. Will he get the pardon? Yes is plus 800, and no is minus 2,500. So here's the exchange again in the press room at the White House the other day.
So one of the biggest rating hits of the coronavirus, aside from these briefings, has been a show on Netflix called Tiger King.
Yeah.
And the man who's the star of this is a former zoo owner who's serving a 22-year prison sentence. He's asking you for a pardon, saying he was unfairly convicted. Your son yesterday jokingly said that he was going to advocate for it. And I was wondering if you've seen the show and if you have any thoughts on pardoning Joe Exotic.
Which son? It must be Don. It was. I had a feeling it was Don. Is that what he said? I don't know. I know nothing about it. He has 22 years for what? What did he do?
He allegedly hired someone to murder an animal rights activist, but he said that he didn't do that. And he was.
You think he didn't do it? Are you on his side?
Are you
recommending
sides,
a pardon?
No, I'm not advocating anything.
As a reporter, you're not allowed to do that. You'd be criticized by these. Would you recommend a pardon?
I'm not weighing in on time.
I don't think you would. Go ahead. Do you have a question? I'll take a look. Is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic.
I need Trump just to complete this year, 2020.
So Don's a smart ass, huh? Don's the smart ass of the family, huh?
I need Donald Trump to go and watch this show and give us his take on it every day. Because I just think that would complete everything that's happened in our lives.
Some really, really big cats.
That's huge. Pretty good, though.
They're huge. I don't know the cats get that big.
Really, really big cats.
What's that name with the to carry the gun? A lot of guns, big guns.
I think it's funny that Joe Exotic wants a pardon because, you know what, Joe? Sure. You know, by letter of the law, you're right. You probably should get a pardon. You probably shouldn't even have been convicted. The evidence was circumstantial at best. It's just that everyone feels so much better with you in prison. We can't, in good conscience, let you out. Just everybody feels safer. So it's probably not the answer you wanted. Even the reasons aren't good, Joe, but the answer's no. We just all feel better with you being in there for, I don't know, a few years. Just give it a few years. Then we'll let you out. We'll see how it goes then.
It's too good. It's too good. All right, it's 1 o'clock. We promised that we were going to do pick threes, which has become a big thing on social media while everyone is locked at home. Everyone's locked in at home, and they're doing all kinds of silly things on Facebook and Twitter. And one of the things that has developed is pick three of this 9 or 12 option panel of things. We actually made one for our show. We'll use that as a jumping off point to get into some of the other ones that are floating around the internet that all three of us will weigh in on, and you can weigh in on as well in the 1 o'clock hour that all begins right after these headlines. No commercials. Fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.